Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Can I request all the brothers from the other side to come on this side, please? Jo hazrat dusre hall mein baithe hain unse darkhwast hai ki yahan pe tashreef le aaye. I'm sit closer, brothers. We have some brothers over there leaning on the benches. Shall I come this side? All the youngsters on the other side, please come on this side. Bismillah, alhamdulillah, wa salatu wa salam ala rasulillah. Alhamdulillah, today we are very fortunate. We have with us, before I introduce him as the uncle of our respected Imam Maulana Saifuddin Sahab, I remember when in 1989, when I joined Jewsbury, Maulana was very senior to me. He was in Arbi Dome. And Uswakse, we know Maulana, I think after about 28 years I've met him today. But Uswakse, mashallah, Maulana was very, we knew him to be very quiet, always in his kitabs, mashallah. And we've learned a lot from his silence. But today, inshallah, we'll try to learn from his talks, inshallah. So we're very fortunate to have Maulana. He's come from Charlie. He's left all his schedule. He runs a idara, and he's come here with us. Today, I understand, it's holiday period. It's a Saturday afternoon. We have many brothers who are out and about. They've gone overseas. But the few that are here, inshallah, is equivalent to hundreds, inshallah. So we want the brothers to sit close together, listen attentively, and let's benefit from Hazrat Maulana's talk, his spirituality. Maulana has took benefit from many ulama, and inshallah, hopefully today we will try to benefit or take something from him, inshallah. But before we call upon Hazrat Maulana, I'm going to ask Maulana Saifuddin Sahab to just come forward and just give us some nasiha for 5 minutes, and then he will call upon Hazrat Maulana.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إنا نحن نزلنا الذكر وإنا له لحافظون صدق الله العظيم الحمد لله. We are very fortunate to be part of this auspicious gathering in which inshallah ta'ala two children from Madrasa Nur al-Islam will be completing the memorization of the glorious Qur'an. Once it comes to the glorious Qur'an, we all well know that this is an attribute, a sifah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And just like the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever protected, and nothing can harm the being of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, similarly, once it comes to the attributes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, including His speech, people can try to make efforts in order to try to distort it, in order to try to tamper with it. But due to its nature, it will never be impacted by any of these efforts of any such people. The verse of the glorious Qur'an I recited within the sermon is a verse in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reiterates two very important facts. The first is, إِنَّا نَحْنُ نَزَّلْنَا ذِكْرِ, that Allah ta'ala Himself revealed the glorious Qur'an. In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stamps the glorious Qur'an to be divine. And the second point Allah ta'ala mentions is, إِنَّا لَهُ لَحَافِظُونَ, the glorious Qur'an will also most certainly remain protected. So in the initial portion of this verse, Allah Ta'ala highlights the divinity of the Qur'an. And in the second portion of this verse, Allah Ta'ala highlights the preservation of the glorious Qur'an. Once it comes to the glorious Qur'an, we have many different ways in which Allah Ta'ala has protected this. Once it comes to the meaning of the glorious Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala has honored the ulama and the scholars to protect it. Once it comes to the recitation of the glorious Qur'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has honored the qurra, the experts of recitation, to preserve it. And similarly, once it comes to the words of the glorious Qur'an, the nazam of the glorious Qur'an, Allah Ta'ala has honored the Huffaz and those who memorize the glorious Quran with the honor to preserve it. In this worldly life, once it comes to those who are attached to the glorious Quran, at many a times we think nothing of them. At many a times we overlook them. We have a hafiz, we say, what bas ek hafiz hai. We've got an alim, we say, bas wo ek alim hai. Not realizing that within the hereafter, the caliber Allah Ta'ala will grant them will be unparalleled anyway. But even within this worldly life, once it comes to Allah Ta'ala's criteria, then they are the greatest and the most virtuous from amongst us. We hear the hadith again and again, خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ أَوْ خَيْرُكُمْ مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ أَوْ عَلَّمَهُ. That from amongst ourselves, we take different people to be the best and the greatest. Some are of the understanding, the one with the best car is the best. Others are of the understanding, the one with the biggest house is the best. But this is all our speculative criteria. Once it comes to Allah Ta'ala's court, Allah Ta'ala's knowledge, once it comes to the hereafter, then Allah Ta'ala mentions the criteria for us to become great in this world and the hereafter. And what is that criteria? مَنْ تَعَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنَ وَعَلَّمَهُ. We build our relationship with the glorious Qur'an. And how do we build our relationship with the glorious Qur'an? The first thing we do is believe in the glorious Qur'an. A very difficult task considering this day and age. And I'm going to finish with this point, inshaAllah. It was only recently we had a brother from this community. And he sent me a message. Alhamdulillah, he's memorizing the glorious Qur'an, a very good lad. And in his message he wrote that, I have come across some information which I'm finding it very difficult to digest. We'll digest food a little later, we're talking about digesting information right now. I said, what is the information? So he said to me that in the glorious Qur'an, na'udhu billah, we have a mention of the shares once it comes to inheritance. And many a people are claiming that the shares don't add up. In other words, na'udhu billah, we have a mathematical error within the glorious Qur'an. So I just mentioned one simple point to him, and I think we all need to walk away with this today, and it will hopefully solidify our belief in the divinity of the glorious Qur'an. I said to him that, when did anyone ever mention this objection? Ke Qur'an mein agar hisab ke i'tibar se koi ghalti hai, to wo سب سے پہلا شخص کون ہے جس نے یہ غلطی لوگوں کے سامنے پیش کی. So he said, oh, it was a very recent time. بس اب ماضی قریب کی بات ہے. I said, think about this. The glorious Quran was presented by the Prophet صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم over 1400 years ago. And from then till the recent past, no one ever mentioned anything. People mentioned things which were totally incorrect, even very difficult to believe regarding the glorious Quran. They said the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, na'udhu billah, was a madman. He was a fortune teller, various other things. If this were in true, in reality, was an objection against the glorious Quran, they would have presented it. Everything else is finished. But they never did so. Similarly, it comes to Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha. People make a fuss of this in this day and age, that she was so young, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam got married to her. What would his intention have been at that particular moment in time? We say, when did anyone ever mention this objection for the first time? They say, recently. We say, so all that time there was no problem with it, and now there's become a problem with it. Either the people of the past for 1400 years were totally ignorant, and now you've got a learned person. Or this guy is now ignorant, and all the people before him had a sound understanding. So my brother's number one belief in the glorious Quran. Sit with the ulama, sit with knowledgeable people, and try to understand the nature of the glorious Quran. And once we truly do so, it sets into our hearts and minds, then we can fulfill the remainder of the rites of the glorious Quran. And another major rite of the glorious Quran, my brothers, is to memorize it. Very, very important. Many youngsters think we don't understand why memorize. Even if we solely memorize the Quran without understanding, even though understanding will take us much, much further, and practicing through that understanding is the true objective of the revelation of the glorious Quran. But memorization alone will take us so far within the hereafter that people will look towards our status within paradise and only have remorse regarding themselves not having memorized the glorious Quran. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability. And inshallah, before I call up my respected uncle, We have Qari Ahmed Banasab, who's currently looking at me. I'm quite fearful, to be honest. Inshallah ta'ala, he's going to come forward and bless us with the recitation of the glorious Quran. You're going to have a big program, and you're going to have a big program. You've never come to my opinion, Mr. Hazrat. Thank you, Mr.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة يوم يقوم الروح والملائكة صفا لا يتكلمون لا يتكلمون إلا من أذن له الرحمن وقال صوابا ذلك اليوم الحق فمن شاء اتخذ إلى ربه مآبا إنا أنذرناكم عذابا قريبا يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه يوم ينظر المرء يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني يوم ينظر المرء ما قدمت يداه ويقول الكافر يا ليتني كنت ترابا. صدق الله العظيم.
جزاكم الله خيرا وشكرا جزيلا. يا الله تعالى bless Qadisab even further. May Allah Ta'ala allow us all to recite the glorious Qur'an in a manner in which it is pleasing to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. When I was younger myself, once it comes to our family, we literally had no alim, no hafiz, or anyone with any such formal religious education within our families. And then, alhamdulillah, it was my uncle who was the first one who initiated this chain in which, alhamdulillah, he initially memorized the glorious Qur'an. Thereafter, he became an alim. And now, alhamdulillah, within our families, we find, if not everyone, then the majority of us are either hafidh or alim, or both of them. May Allah Ta'ala grant him all the reward of all the goodness that comes thereafter as a result of this. And myself, alhamdulillah, I studied maybe over 15 ajza of the glorious Qur'an once it comes to my hifz with my respected uncle. And once it comes to my upbringing, even though I'm quite naughty, as many of you will know, but alhamdulillah, we actually shared the same roof of the same house for a very long time. So alhamdulillah, I've always had that affiliation with him. And even now, alhamdulillah, he's still very kind, very affectionate to me, and he calls me down to his masjid. He's the founder of Ar-Rahma Academy. They have the Alimiya course, the Hifz classes. On the weekends, they have many programs for brothers and sisters. So many activities we find. May Allah Ta'ala accept. May Allah Ta'ala bless him further. Now, inshaAllah Ta'ala, I'll call upon him to bless us with his words of wisdom. And after that, inshaAllah Ta'ala, a conclusive dua within the end. Shukran jazeela.
الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين وآله وصحبه أجمعين. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. والعصر إن الإنسان لفي خسر إلا الذين آمنوا وعملوا الصالحات وتواصوا بالحق وتواصوا بالصبر. وقال تعالى يا أيها الذين آمنوا هل أدلكم على تجارة تنجيكم من عذاب أليم تؤمنون بالله ورسوله وتجاهدون في سبيل الله بأموالكم وأنفسكم ذلكم خير لكم إن كنتم تعلمون يغفر لكم ذنوبكم ويدخلكم جنات تجري من تحتها الأنهار ومساكن طيبة في جنات عدن ذلك الفوز العظيم وأخرى تحبونها نصر من الله وفتح قريب وبشر المؤمنين صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد وآله وصحبه وبارك وسلم. It is obviously a great honor for all of us to be sitting here and discussing the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and being present in a program in which a couple of students will complete the hifz and the memorization of the glorious Quran. What should one talk about and discuss in such a gathering? Do we talk about the glorious Quran itself, its greatness? Or do we talk about the challenges that the Ummah is facing? There's so much to talk about. But after much consideration, when I looked at the tafsir of Surah Al-Asr, I thought to myself that this is a good topic to discuss, to talk about. Surah Al-Asr is, in terms of its verses, it's the shortest, one of the shortest chapters of the glorious Quran. How many verses does this chapter have? It has 3 verses. And then Surah Al-Kawthar also has 3 verses. And Surah Al-Nasr also has 3 verses. So this chapter, Surah Al-Asr, is from the shortest surahs and chapters of the glorious Quran. But it is so concise and so comprehensive at the same time as being concise, that Imam Shafi'i rahimullah ta'ala says that the entire deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is in this surah. And if no other guidance had been revealed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the guidance offered in this surah would have been sufficient. And Ubaidullah ibn Hisn says that whenever two companions of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam would meet each other, they would not part until they had recited this chapter. So it was a practice among some of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum that when they would meet, they would recite this chapter as a reminder to each other and because of its meaning. So I will try to explain this chapter briefly according to what the Mufassirun have said. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins the first verse of the chapter Wal Asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, a qasam. There is no need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to take a qasam, to take an oath. But the ulama have mentioned that one of the reasons that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath despite being the most truthful is that whatever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say after the oath, the subject of the oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants to stress that even more, even further, and put the importance of that into the mind of the listeners. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath, but what does he take an oath by? Wal asr. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of time. Waqt. This oath, which is an oath of time or the passage of time, the Mufassirun have given 3 meanings of this verse. The first meaning is that it refers to the time and the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Because the era and the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was so blessed,
so blessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of that time. And how blessed was that time? An incident just comes to mind that it was blessed in all senses, in all ways, in different ways. An incident has been mentioned in which a muhaddith who lived a couple of hundred years after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, or maybe a little more, and in his youth he was very handsome, mashallah, very handsome, and everyone is handsome in their own way, yes. And not only a person's physical features make him handsome, rather it is the character of a person. It is the tongue of a person, the speech of a person, his akhlaq, his morals, that is what makes a person handsome. But anyway, this muhaddith was physically also very handsome. His appearance, he was very handsome. So you have the handsomeness of his character, his spirituality, and then you have the handsomeness of his physical features. That's double. There's even more attraction towards that. So he was walking in a garden, and he saw, or rather, he was seen by a handsome lady, a handsome woman. And she called him towards sin. And he refused. He refused, he walked away. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Kept his sight down. And he walked away. When the muhaddith was young. When he became older, and he reached 70, 80 or over 60. So some people believe that once they reach over 60, desire goes, it doesn't go, it's still there. Although a person does not have the same ability, yes, but that desire remains. So after 60, when he became over 60, 70, he remembered that incident. He thought about it. And the thought passed his mind that if I had committed the sin, then I could have made tawbah after it. So just as a waswasa, just a thought just passing his mind. So when this thought passed his mind, because his heart and mind were so clean and full of taqwa, immediately he started to repent from that thought, that how could I think this? How could this thought even enter into my mind? And he made so much tawbah, so much istighfar. And he went to sleep and he saw a dream. And in that dream he was told that there is nothing to worry about. The reason why you did not commit that sin in your youth, because that time was nearer and closer to the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. There was more barakah in that time. And as the time passed, and the further you are from the era of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there is decrease in that barakah. There is decrease in that barakah. So imagine how blessed that time was. So some of the mufassirun, they have said, wal asr, the time refers to the blessed time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The second opinion is that wal asr refers to salatul asr. It refers to salatul asr. And why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take an oath of salatul? Because it is the most important prayer according for certain reasons. If you look at it from certain angles, it is the most important prayer. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, حَافِظُوا عَلَى الصَّلَوَاتِ وَالصَّلَاتِ الْوُسْطَى. It is the middle salat, the salat that comes in the middle. You have salatul fajr, salatul dhuhr, you have salatul maghrib, salatul isha, and between you have salatul asr. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes an oath of that. because it was a time when people were very neglectful, engaged in their worldly activities. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala emphasized that salah even more. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, الَّذِي تَفُوتُهُ الْعَصْرِ, that the person who misses his asr salah, then كَأَنَّمَا وُطِرَ أَهْلَهُ وَمَالَ, it is like he has lost his entire family and his entire wealth. This is the loss of one, missing one salah. These are two. But the third opinion regarding Surah Al-Asr, this has been mentioned by the majority of the Mufassirun, that the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the oath of is the time that a person is granted in his life. Whether it's 60 years, 70 years, 50 years, 40 years, 20 years, however much time he is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking an oath of that time, wal asr, by the passage of time. Why does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala take an oath? Because time is so precious. Time is so precious. Sometimes we think that we don't have any time. Even youngsters nowadays, you talk to youngsters and say, we don't have any time for this. We have time for everything else. But the important things in life, we don't find time for that. Do we find time to sit with our parents? For that we feel that we don't have time for this. The one thing we have time for is dunya. I'm talking about I always say we in speeches. I never say you, I always say we, because I include myself in this. We have time for dunya. Time is so precious because every second that passes away, we will never recover that. We will never get that back. The ulama have stated that this time is the capital and the asset of a person, which is called Ra'sul Mal, the capital. So a person has, for example, £100,000, that is his capital. I shouldn't say 100,000, we shouldn't start dreaming about 100,000. Start off with like a person has 10,000. That's his capital. 15,000 is his capital. So now he wants to, nobody's going to sit around with £20,000. They're going to think, where shall I invest this? If I have £30,000, where shall I invest this £30,000? So time is the capital that we have. It's the capital. And we are tajirs. We are tradespeople. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala refers to this in the verse of the Quran that I've just recited. Ya ayyuhalladhina hal adullukum ala tijara. So we are conducting business. We are doing business. What is our capital? Our capital is time. If we invest this time in the correct place, in the right manner, then we will succeed in the tijara of the hereafter. And if we do not invest this time that we have in the correct place, then innal insana lafi khusr, we are in khasara and loss in that business. I just remembered an incident. Hazrat Mufti Shafi rahmatullah alayhi, a great scholar, he has mentioned that once I went to visit my teacher, and if I remember correctly, Mia Aswar rahmatullah alayhi was his name, I don't remember correctly. I went to visit him. He said, I used to visit him every day, more or less every day. And when I sat down, he said to me, let's talk in Arabic today. Let's talk in Arabic. So we normally used to talk in Urdu freely. So when he said to me, let's talk in Arabic, I thought to myself, what's the reason, what's the hikmah behind this? So he said, we spoke a little bit. And then I decided to ask him that, Sheikh, Ustadji, what is the reason for talking in Arabic today? So first he did not tell me, he didn't say, Mufti Shafir Rahmatullah says. But then when I insisted, he said, look, I thought to myself that I'm coming towards the end of my life. I only have a few years left to live. Nobody knows how long they're going to live. Yes, but obviously normally we go to youth, then we go to old age. So he said, I only have a few years to live. So the time that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala... So he said, I only have a few coins left to invest. I only have a few coins left to invest. So basically my past life, the investment has been made, the time has passed, I cannot make that investment again. So now in this tijara of the hereafter, I only have a few coins to invest, and I'm speaking in Arabic because when I speak in Arabic, I won't be able to say as many words, and we will finish our conversation quickly, and we will be able to engage in the investment of the hereafter. So these few coins that I have left, I will invest them in a better way. That is why I want to talk in Arabic. This is investment. So where are we making this investment? Are we even making an investment? Where are these moments of our life being spent? Where is this investment being made? And I would like to congratulate the children who have become hafiz today, who are going to become hafiz today, that they have invested a significant portion of their life in the right place, reading the Quran. Whilst they were reading the Quran, they probably had many friends who did not come to the madrasa. They were not in Hifz class. You have all sorts of students. Some students, they don't want to come into the Hifz class. They don't want to even experience the Hifz class for fear of becoming Hafiz. They don't want to become Hafiz. And then you have other children who don't attend the madrasa at all. So these children who are becoming Hafiz, they will have friends who do not come to the madrasa. But despite all that, they invested their time, the moments that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted them, in the right place. So they are worthy of congratulation. After taking an oath, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, all people are in loss. As far as this investment is concerned, everyone is in loss. Only those people who have four qualities, they will succeed in this investment. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he goes on to say, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. If you have these four things, then your business is going to be successful. The first is, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا, belief. The second is وَعَمِلُ الصَّالِحَاتِ, and to carry out righteous actions, good actions. The meaning of this is known to all, these two. Iman, what is the meaning of Iman? Iman is believing in everything that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam brought to us. That is Iman. Alhamdulillah, we should do shukr that we have Iman. And then, after Iman, to carry out righteous deeds. Now, Iman is affected by righteous deeds. If we carry out righteous deeds, our Iman is stronger. And if we do not carry out righteous deeds, then our Iman becomes weaker. But we all understand. We do, don't we? We all understand what righteous deeds are. Praying salah, fasting, staying away from sin. This is also a part of righteous deeds, staying away from sin. So these two things. A person who says Subhanallah once has invested in the hereafter. Says Alhamdulillah once has invested in the hereafter. But then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to mention the second two qualities, which are the two qualities we need to give more attention to. The third quality is وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ, and they exhort and urge one another to the truth. وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And then وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, they exhort and urge one another towards patience, to patience, to sabr. So this tells us that iman and a'mali saliha are not sufficient. It's very clear. So if a person has iman, carries out good deeds, this will not be sufficient. He has two more responsibilities, according to this very clear surah of the glorious Quran. The third responsibility is that he exhorts each other towards the truth. They exhort one another towards the truth, to the truth. What does this mean? It means that first and foremost, our family members, our children, then we go on to the community, wherever a person has some sort of influence and say, he continues to preach the truth. And then, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ, he urges and exhorts patience. Sabr, have patience in the face of trials, in the face of tribulations, in practicing the deen, have patience. This is the third and fourth quality. But I wanted to come to the point that Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi has made here, which has been mentioned in Ma'riful Quran. He says, وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. He says there are two obstacles in deen. There are two obstacles indeed. Shubuhat and shahawat. Shubuhat is having doubt in one's aqidah and one's belief. For whatever reason, whatever doubt that is. And Shaykh Saifuddin Hafidhahullah alluded to that. Having doubt. And this is becoming more and more common. Why is it becoming more and more common? Because it's getting further and further away from the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is why we find our elders, and it gives me great happiness to see elders. We don't in the academy. We don't see. We only have a number of elders. All the elders, they go to the other masjid. We just have like middle age and youngsters. So it gives me happiness to see elders here. Their belief, their yaqeen, is stronger than ours. There's no doubt about it. There's no doubt about it. I've seen elders. There was a doctor who attends our masjid, Dr. Salim, and he's about 60, 65, mashallah, from Libya. And about 2 weeks ago, he had a stroke. May Allah Ta'ala grant him complete shifa. He had a stroke. And we went to visit him in hospital. His two sons were there. And the sons were saying that when he had all those tubes and everything inside him, as soon as he gained consciousness, the first thing he said was, I want to offer my salah. I want to offer my salah. And then after 1 week, he's back home. And the day he came home, the next day he's in the masjid. And the stroke he had, we were hearing that it was so severe that make dua that he survives this. The next day he's in the masjid of praying his salah. So that level of iman of our elders, and we should appreciate that. And we should recognize that their iman and their yaqeen, they don't doubt their deen, subhanAllah. They don't have these doubts. And it's not because we're exposed to the internet or we're exposed to so many things. That is one reason. But another reason is there's just less barakah now. So the first obstacle in practicing our deen, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ. Practice your deen. Have faith and practice your deen. The first obstacle is shubuhat, having doubts. If a person has doubts, how is he going to practice? Then he will only attend the masjid because his father is saying attend the masjid. There's so much pressure. Go to the masjid, go to the masjid. Go. So he's going to the masjid. But inside his heart and mind, his belief has been shaken because of doubts. And the second, so the first obstacle is shubuhat. And Ibn Taymiyyah rahmatullah alayhi says the second obstacle is shahawat, desires. When a person's desires are so strong and he just wants to acquire pleasure through sin, yeah, there are halal ways to acquire pleasure as well. There are halal ways, permissible ways to acquire pleasure. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made them more than sufficient. And I always say it to the pupils that shaitan makes us think that Islam is difficult. There are so many restrictions. list the restrictions. Kya hai? Pabandiya kya hai Islam mein? Don't drink alcohol. Is drinking alcohol a good thing? Not even Islamically, I'm not talking about it Islamically, generally. Go around Saturday night and Friday night, have a look at those. Ask the taxi drivers, they know better than anyone else. On Friday night, Saturday night, have a look at the state of those who have been drinking. You lose your aqal, you lose your senses, you do anything. So what has Islam prevented us from? Is it shaitan puts this into our mind that this Islam is so strict? So there are many permissible and halal pleasures. قُلْ مَنْ حَرَّمَ زِينَةَ اللَّهِ الَّتِي أَخْرَجَ لِعِبَادِهِ وَالطَّيِّبَاتِ مِنَ الرِّزْقِ. All these are halal. Who has made them haram? In terms of, I say to the people, in terms of food and drink, what has Allah Ta'ala made halal? Everything is halal. Only a few things are haram. Food and drink, clothes, everything is permissible, only a few things are impermissible. And those things that are impermissible, they are impermissible because there is harm to us or there is harm to the wider society. That is why they've been made haram and impermissible. Everything else is halal. So shahawat, when a person cannot control his desires, then a person will not be able to practice the deen. That means that if we want to practice our deen, then we need a solution to the shubahat that we are having, and we need a solution to the shahawat that we are experiencing. We need a solution to these. If a person puts his hand up and says, no, I don't have any shubahat in my deen, alhamdulillah. If a person puts his hand up and says that, alhamdulillah, I don't commit any sins because I have the desire, but I'm able to control my desire and stay away from sin, then alhamdulillah, it's practicing the deen. But if a person has shubuhat or is experiencing such strong desires that he cannot control himself and he's committing sin, then we need to look to the solution. What is the solution? So what do you think is the solution of shubuhat that we are having and shahawat? Deen. So if a person is doubting his deen, Ji?
Four months in Jamaat.
I will tell you. They learn to cook as well. They learn to cook as well in Jamaat. But they won't become a complete cook.
No, I said
Kukuland. Now that was a joke for myself. What is the solution? We've got to look for the solution, and the solution that we understand, and the solution that Islam gives. First of all, the solution that Islam gives, and secondly, that we understand it as well. That's what we've got to look for. And I often hear from Sheikh Saifuddin, and same in Chorley. We had incidents in Chorley where people who had studied the deen, they apostated, they became murtad. And we have one brother, Egyptian brother, he's a doktor, who's sort of an expert in this field. He's got a degree in atheism and whatever. So he said to me, so many people are leaving Islam. So many. He said that what is happening in Gaza, he says, so many people, we see Americans and British people, after what's happening in Gaza, they learn about Islam, they see the iman of those people, the patience, the steadfastness, and they're becoming Muslim. But he said, do you know that so many Muslims are becoming kafir as well, they're apostating due to what's happening in Gaza. And he's got first-hand experience. And he said the reason for this is that they can't understand the issue of suffering. Why is there such suffering? So this shubahat, it exists. It exists. And then shahawat, obvious. We can't control ourselves. You know, there's so many things we can't control ourselves. How many brothers here? What? Salatul Fajr with congregation in the masjid is very much emphasized. According to the Hanafi school of thought, it is very, very important. It's emphasized sunnati mu'akkada. And some say even wajib to read salah with jama'ah, with congregation. And then the fadail and the virtues are so many. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, and the same problem in our masjid as well, in the academy. Fajr, we barely get a saf. Well, forget saf, it's come down to half a saf now. We've got quite a long saf. Not that long as well. But Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that a person who prays his Fajr salah with congregation and his Isha salah with congregation, then it is like he's like the person who's worshipped the entire night. SubhanAllah. So if we want to get the reward of worshipping the entire night, standing in Qiyam, then all we need to do is offer our Isha in congregation and Fajr in congregation. Are we able to do Fajr? How many people do we get in Fajr Salah? And how many people do we have in Isha Salah, Maghrib Salah? Is there a difference? So that means, unless we're at work or doing something else which is very important, it means that we're unable to leave our cozy beds and come out of our house and travel to the masjid. That's what it means. The shahawat, desires. Or one which is really, really common, and when I speak about this in front of the pupils, they all laugh and smile, that we're unable to control our gaze. It's so common. So common. Sometimes you're walking with someone and you feel so embarrassed because you see that they are looking here and there, and what do you say? Even those who are considered to be religious, they cannot control their gaze. So this is shahawat. And then we have other issues, for example, spiritual issues, inner self. What is that? For example, I want to be seen as the greatest alim of our community. I want to be seen as the one who is doing the work of deen. I should be seen. I should be doing the work of deen because I want people to see that I am the one who is changing this community. This is also shahawat, because there's desire to become, desire for fame. And then desire for wealth, to become rich. These are all shahawat, part of shahawat. So I will give you the solution, inshallah. Not I will give you, I will mention a verse of the Qur'an, Qur'an-i-Kareem, in which I believe is the solution. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. O you who believe, fear Allah and be with the ones who are truthful. Be with the ones who are truthful. The Mufassirun have mentioned, who are the truthful ones? Who are the truth? Nowadays we say truthful if we mean somebody is speaking the truth. That is part of being truthful. So in brief, I'm just going to conclude now, just last two, three points. I believe in khairul kalami ma qalla wa dalla. The best of speeches is that which is short, concise, and is mudallal. It is backed up by evidence. In short. So I've mentioned a few important points. Okay, so but how do we get rid of the shubuhat and the shahawat? Do we not want to get rid of these? Yes, I want to. I want to. I want my iman to be so strong like the iman of... It's not going to be like the iman of Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala. We want our iman to be like that. And I want to have total control of my desires. Desires will always be there. They'll always be there. Okay, it's just suppressing them. A person is not going to become like an angel. Like just like an angel has no desires, I will have no desires. It's not going to be like that. We're always going to have desires. We're always, unless we've got a medical problem. Yeah, we've got a medical problem. 99.9% of us will have the desire to look at something which is beautiful. If we don't even have the desire, then what are we going to be rewarded for? We are being rewarded for controlling our desires. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, He gives us the solution. وَكُونُوا مَعَ الصَّادِقِينَ. Be in the company of the truthful. Who are the truthful? The truthful are those who are sincere in their intention, truthful in their words, and truthful in their actions. How are they truthful in their actions? They do that which they say. So they practice what they preach. These are the truthful ones. There are so many points. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say, stay in the company of the ulama. Because the pehchan and the sign of a true alim is him if he is sadiq. If he is sadiq, then he's a true alim. Then he's alim in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if he's sadiq. But if alim is not practicing what he's preaching, then he's not sadiq. So if we want, okay, sadiq, siddiq. The stronger form of Sadiq is Siddiq. And who was Siddiq? The greatest Sadiq, Abu Bakr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. And when was he given this title? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned from Mi'raj. And how will people accept that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has traveled to Masjid al-Aqsa, and then from Masjid al-Aqsa to the heavens, and then seen Jannah, seen Jahannam, seen the angels, seen all sorts, and then spoken to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then returned to his house, to the house of Umm Hani, in not even a second. Who's going to believe that? So Abu Jahl thought that this is the opportunity I have now. I can persuade Abu Bakr to abandon and leave Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, leave Muhammad. So he went to Abu Bakr. Abu Bakr was given great insight and firasa as well. So he said to Abu Bakr, "What would you say about a person who says this, that he's made this journey physically, not in his dream, not spiritually, physically he's made this journey?" What Abu Bakr said, he said, "Who has said this? SubhanAllah, how intelligent. Who has said this?" So Abu Jahl said that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad has said this. He said, "If he has said it, then it is true. If he has said it, then it is true." So he was the greatest Siddiq. His intention was pure, his words were true, his actions were according to his words. So the solution is to be in the company of the pious, whether that company of the Sadiqeen, the truthful ones. Now the question is, where do we find this company? It's difficult, isn't it? He's not Sadiq. Nobody's Sadiq. Where will I find the Sadiq from? How do we find a Sadiq? And then someone who's Sadiq in Maulana's eyes might not be Sadiq in my eyes, and someone who's Sadiq in his eyes, brother's eyes, won't know Sadiq in my eyes. Who is Sadiq? Oh my word. It's a difficult one. Someone who's Sadiq in brother's eyes might not be Sadiq in our eyes. Mufti Shafi rahmatullah has mentioned there's two things. Two things we need to keep in mind. Connect ourselves to. Two things that we need to connect ourselves to. One is Quran, and one is Ahlul Quran. Quran and Ahlul Quran. So we've got to look for that person who's and it doesn't have to be one person, my brothers. You know, like some people think we have to find like a peer and he's going to become my sheikh and then I just have to serve. It doesn't have to be one person. There are many pious people who practice the deen, who follow the teachings of the Quran, and whose life is in accordance to the teachings of the Quran. We stay in their company. If we stay in the company of pious people, sometimes when we go out into Jamaat, into Tabligh, we find a very pious company in Jamaat. Sometimes we don't. We had a Jamaat in our masjid few weeks ago, and one brother came and showed me. He said, "Look what we've got on camera at night time." Obviously, you shouldn't be spying. Well, it's the responsibility of the masjid brothers to see what's happening. So in the masjid, they've got space outside. How do you know this? Experience. Yeah, so youngsters, they're playing football in the masjid. And not only playing football, if it was just football, chalo, if they have that soft ball, kuch na kuch gunjaiches, there's no worship going on. They're sitting on vaping on the side of the masjid. So sometimes you find very good company in Jamaat, subhanAllah, and so many people have reformed themselves in Jamaat. I studied in Dewsbury Merkez from 1986 to 1993, alhamdulillah. And I learned so much. Hafiz Patel Sahib rahmatullah alayh, when I was about to be admitted, I wanted admission, because Maulana disappeared. Maulana Balan Sahib. in 1986, the Amir of our community, Charlie, he has passed away now as well, Siddiq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, very pious person, obviously. But he took me to Hafiz Patel Sahib for admission, Rahmatullah Ali. And I still remember exactly, he was holding my hand, Amir Sahib, and he said to her, and Hafiz Patel Sahib Rahmatullah was in that room where foreigners used to come, I don't know, Mehman room or whatever, and he was leaning against the pillar, and Amir Sahib said to him that, can you admit him into madrasa? So Hafiz Patel Sahib said, no, he has spent 4 months in Jamaat. 4 months in Jamaat. And I was only 16. So Amir Sahib said, no, he's too young to spend 4 months. So Hafiz Patel Sahib said, theek hai, 40 din ke liye bhej do. But I think Hafiz Patel just wanted to check if he's going to go or not. But that those days I spent in Jamaat, they were. I remember on Eid day, I was doing Eid in Jamaat. And I burnt. I never ironed my clothes in my life. I had new clothes and I burnt them, I remember. That's still there in my mind, I burnt my clothes. But the time I spent in Jamaat there is very, very beneficial. I don't know if any brothers know Haji Yaqub Khan Sahib from Cardiff. Yeah, Cardiff. MashaAllah, very pious. He was the Amir of my Jamaat at that time. So wherever we can find good company, the least is, and these are very, very beneficial, I'm giving you here, if you take it seriously, especially my young brothers, if you take it seriously, you'll benefit. If you want to progress in your deen, just look for friends who are better than you in deen. Simple. They don't have to be sadiq even. They don't have to be really, really pious. Just look for someone who is practicing the deen more than yourself. If you go to school, don't hang around with people who don't practice the deen or don't practice. Look at someone who practices the deen the most. Make friends with him. If you go to college, do the same. Why hang around with those who don't practice the deen, who don't offer the salah? Hang around with those, befriend those who are practicing the deen more than yourself. So pious company, good company, if we want to remove shubuhat and shahwat. I will mention one last final point. Hazrat Hakim al-Ummat Mawlana Ashraf Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, you know, you might say, how will just this good company remove my shubuhat? It will, honestly, it will. Company affects a person. Company affects a person so much. The Salaf, when they would enter a new town, or even if they would be traveling, before they entered that new town, they would make a dua that, oh Allah, grant me good company in this town. Grant me good company in this town. It's so important. Even for ulama, for people like myself and all ulama, we need good company. If you stay out of the environment, out of the company, then slowly, slowly you start to lose that, whatever you have inside you, spirituality, you start to lose that. So good company is really important. So I'm going to make a request. I don't normally do this. I'm going to make a request. We're sitting here in the khatam of the Quran Majid. Okay. And I'm going to make this request that all youngsters, ourselves, even let's look for, when we make a friend, make sure our friend is practicing the deen better than us. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what did he say? Al-mar'u ala deeni khalili. A person is on the deen of his friend. Yes, it means close friend. Whoever you befriend, then his sifat, his qualities, his habits will come into you eventually. Not straight away. It's not like you're going to basically sit with him for 1 hour and you're going to become totally like him. No, gradually you're going to become like that person. So stay in good company. Look for good friends. If we want to become pious ourselves, we want to become good ourselves. Final point. Hazrat Thanvi Rahmatullah has mentioned. In his time, obviously, there was the British rule in India. the British rule. It's still the British rule. It's still the British rule. At that time they were present there, and now it's still there, but in different ways. Rajunika, no. We're still... Well, there's the, physically was the British rule in India, and it started all these universities and colleges, and obviously there was all sorts going on. And obviously it's there, it was their idea that we can remove this Islamic way of thinking, this Islamic culture, Islamic way of life, Islamic ideology from the minds of the Muslims, especially the Muslim youth, through education, through this, through that. This is what we're going to do. But they failed miserably, alhamdulillah. They tried it there, now we're all sitting here in their country, in the, inside the masjid. Hafiz Patel Sahib used to say that. وہاں سے مٹانے کی کوشش کی تو اللہ سبحانہ وتعالی انا نحن نزلنا الذکر وانا له لحافظون, ہم ان کی چھاتی پر بیٹھے ہوئے ہیں یہاں. But we shouldn't become what do they call it, complacent at all. So Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, at that time he said that whatever your youth are experiencing because of colleges and universities, the solution to that is that in their holidays, just take them and make them sit in the company of the mashayikh. All their doubts will be removed. This is what Hazrat Thani Muhammad said. All their doubts will be removed. You know, when you sit with a person who has strong yaqeen, he will not even need to say anything. Understand what I'm saying, my brothers. He will not even need to answer your doubts. People used to come and sit with Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi with so many questions, so many objections, so many doubts. And Hazrat Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, after leaving his majlis, they would say, all my doubts have been answered. It's something we don't understand. The power of good company. So he would say that just bring them to the mashayikh in the holidays. And this is one thing we're lacking, is that from a very young age, we don't bring our children to sit with the ulama. We should bring them from a very young age. The young children, they should sit with the ulama. The youth should sit with the ulama. And for encouragement, hosla afzai ke liye, the elders, our buzurg, should sit with the ulama as well, to give them encouragement. So may Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to understand what has been said. These are very, very humble words, and I would request everyone just to try to give attention to these. May Allah Ta'ala grant me the tawfiq. I need good company as well, probably more than everybody else here, Shaykh. So, alhamdulillah, this was an occasion. Really, the bayan should have been on the hifz of the Qur'an. I'll mention a few words if there's time, just on the hifz of the Qur'an. I met a brother from Masjid-e-Hidayah in Blackburn. He's probably still around 2-3 years ago. He was one of the committee members from Blackburn. Blackburn, obviously, massive community like Bradford. They've got the Madaris, the Makatib, probably even more than Bradford in Blackburn. So he said to me, he said, Maulana, we did a survey of all the ulama in Blackburn. Listen to this very carefully, my brother. It's for the elderly and for the huffaz. He said, we did a survey of all the ulama in Blackburn and all the huffaz in Blackburn. And alhamdulillah, we did not find a single alim who is not practicing the deen. Subhanallah. And what was his next words? He said, subhanallah, now you say inna lillah. And we did not find a single hafiz who became only hafiz and was still practicing his deen. These are his words. Single hafiz. A person became a hafiz and did not become an alim. We could not find a single hafiz. So what does that mean? I think we've got the same experience. We're having the same experience somewhat in Chorley. If they become hafiz, the majority have become alim, alhamdulillah. But the few that have not become alim, unka deen khatne mein par gaya. It's the same. So is that not something to think about? Those who are becoming Hafiz today, is that not something to think about? That we've spent so many years making effort to become Hafiz. If we get into the wrong environment and we don't stay attached to our ulama, then after 2-3 years we may lose total connection with the Qur'an. And not only the Qur'an, to the deen itself. So it's so important that after becoming Hafiz, achieving this feat, becoming Hafiz, we realize its importance and we learn the deen of Allah. You don't need to, if you enroll yourself into a madrasa, that's even better. But you don't have to be in a madrasa. We've had pupils who go to college and university, they still carry on coming to the madrasa, they're attached to the ulama, they continue to learn the deen. So this is very important as well. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq.
Jazakum Allahu khaira. May Allah Ta'ala grant us all the ability to practice upon the very important advices. May Allah Ta'ala allow us to ever remain connected with the deen of Allah Ta'ala, the glorious Qur'an, the blessed Sunnah, and those who bear the Qur'an and Sunnah. Alhamdulillah, like we mentioned, it's a great honor for ourselves that we have two students from our madrasa, and we all know the father very well, mashallah. The children are serving the Qur'an, insha'Allah, and the father serving the madrasa and the masjid. And we pray Allah Ta'ala takes them from strength to strength. Recently, if I recall correctly, the brother's daughter finished. We had her completion ceremony. Now two sons have finished their completion ceremony. And insha'Allah Ta'ala, hopefully in the future, another daughter will also finish and will also witness her ceremony as well. May Allah Ta'ala allow them to ever remain connected to the Qur'an, the masjid, the madrasa. And may Allah Ta'ala, through the means of this, also grant us the ability to bring about somewhat affiliation with the madrasa and the masjid as well. Normally we think the person who imparts the talk, bas wo deen ki khidmat mein laga hua hai. It's not like that, my brothers. Everyone plays their own role. Someone may hoover up after the program, he's played his role. Someone may be cooking in the kitchen, he's played his own role as well. So may Allah Ta'ala bless the father, the mother. May Allah Ta'ala crown them both with a crown within the hereafter. May Allah Ta'ala grant the children the virtues of the Hufadh of the glorious Qur'an. May Allah Ta'ala make this a means for the journey to ever continue. May Allah Ta'ala make them alim of the Qur'an. May Allah Ta'ala make them hamil of the Qur'an. May Allah Ta'ala, within the dua that's going to follow, inshaAllah Ta'ala, accept all our prayers, make it a means of our forgiveness, and make it a means of blessings for not only this madrasa, not only Bradford, but the entire globe and the entire world, inshaAllah Ta'ala. Now we request Mawla Aqib Sahib, Mawla Rafiq Sahib to come forward, and also the two students, inshaAllah Ta'ala, and the final verses can be recited. After which, inshaAllah Ta'ala, the Dastarbandi will take place, and then the dua. So, Mawla Aqib Sahib, I'll be humble on your behalf. Mawla Rafiq Sahib, tashreef lai.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل هو الله أحد الله الصمد لم يلد ولم يولد ولم يكن له كفوا أحد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الفلق من شر ما خلق ومن شر غاسق إذا وقب ومن شر النفاثات في العقد ومن شر حاسد إذا حسد بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قل أعوذ برب الناس ملك الناس إله الناس من شر الوسواس الخناس الذي يوسوس في صدور الناس من الجنة والناس بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألف لام ميم ذلك الكتاب لا ريب فيه هدى للمتقين الذين يؤمنون بالغيب ويقيمون الصلاة ومما رزقناهم ينفقون والذين يؤمنون بما أنزل إليك وما أنزل من قبلك وبالآخرة هم يوقنون أولئك على هدى من ربهم وأولئك هم المفلحون صدق الله العظيم.
MashaAllah, la quwwata illa billah. We now inshaAllah request the two to stand up inshaAllah ta'ala. The respected teachers, Mawla Yasir Sahib and Mawla Ismail Sahib, inshaAllah ta'ala, tie the turbans around the head as a means of respect and honor for them. And we also pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts the efforts of the respected teachers. To be honest, teaching the Hifz class is not a cup of tea for many a people. I can recall when I used to teach in JKN in the Alimiya course, due to my health issues, I sort of stepped aside and I got told to take the Hifz class. So I don't think I lasted more than 1 month. Stressful nights, no sleep, ulcers in my mouth. So then I quickly gave the class to someone else. It's a very, very difficult task and more stress than anyone else do the teachers take on board. So may Allah Ta'ala accept their efforts. May Allah Ta'ala make them a means of much more goodness within the madrasa. May Allah Ta'ala bless their families. May Allah Ta'ala accept their time and their sacrifices as well. Jazakum Allah. Allah bless. Inshallah, Mulla will perform the dua now. Only you musafir as well.
They're asking me to make dua, but it's going to be very, very short. So.
الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء وأشرف الأنبياء وخاتم الأنبياء والمرسلين وآله وصحبه أجمعين نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك نستغفرك اللهم ونتوب إليك لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين رب اغفر وارحم وأنت خير الراحمين وأنت خير الغافرين وأنت أكرم الأكرمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم أصلح لنا في ذريتنا اللهم أصلح لنا في ذريتنا اللهم أصلح لنا في ذريتنا رب ارحمهما كما ربياني صغيرا رب ارحمهما كما ربيانا صغيرا اللهم اغفر لنا وارحمنا وعافنا واعف عنا وعاملنا بلطفك الجميل اللهم إنا نسألك إيمانا لا يرتد ونعيما لا ينفد ومرافقة نبينا صلى الله عليه وسلم في أعلى درجة الجنة جنة الخلد اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك والعمل الذي يبلغنا حبك اللهم اجعل حبك أحب الأشياء إلينا واجعل خشيتك أخف الأشياء عندنا وقت عنا حاجات الدنيا إلى بالشوق إلى لقائك وإذا أقررت أعين أهل الدنيا من دنياهم فأقرر أعيننا من عبادتك Allah accept our gathering here Allah forgive our sins Allah grant us your ma'rifah Allah grant us your muhabba Allah forgive our sins Allah forgive the sins of our parents Allah forgive the sins of our children O Allah, forgive the sins of all the Ummah. O Allah, through the blessings of this completion of the Qur'an, forgive our sins. O Allah, guide us and keep us steadfast on the straight path. O Allah, grant us your pleasure. O Allah, grant us your rida. O Allah, grant us your rahmah and mercy. O Allah, grant us your forgiveness. O Allah, keep us steadfast upon your deen. O Allah, these children today who have finished the glorious Qur'an, accept them. O Allah, accept them. O Allah, accept them. O Allah, accept them. O Allah, grant them your ma'rifah. Grant them your muhabba. Grant them the knowledge of your deen. O Allah, make them, guide them and make them a source of guidance. O Allah, grant khair and barakah to them. O Allah, grant khair and barakah to their parents, to their teachers, and everyone else who was involved in the hifz of the Qur'an. Allahumma salli ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala ali Sayyidina Muhammadin salatan tunjina biha min jami'il ahwali wal afat wa taqdi lana biha jami'al hajat wa tutahhiruna biha min jami'is sayyiat wa tarfa'una biha indaka ala darajat wa tubalighuna biha aqsal ghayat min jami'il khayrat fil hayati wa ba'dal mamat إنك على كل شيء قدير إنك على كل شيء قدير إنك على كل شيء قدير اللهم انصر غزة وأهلها اللهم انصر غزة وأهلها اللهم انصر غزة وأهلها اللهم انصر فلسطين وأهلها اللهم انصر فلسطين وأهلها وجميع بلاد المسلمين وجميع البلاد المسلمين يا أكرم الأكرمين. اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم ارحم موتانا وموتى المسلمين اللهم كل خير لكل مسلم ومسلمة اللهم اغفر للمؤمنين والمؤمنات والمسلمين والمسلمات الأحياء منهم والأموات برحمتك وفضلك وعنايتك يا أرحم الراحمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.
Jazakumullahu khairan. First of all, we'd like to thank everyone for attending and blessing this gathering of your presence. Also, finally, our respected Sheikh who traveled and he came and he shared some very, very deep and important points with us. We ask Allah Ta'ala to make this beneficial for us and Allah Ta'ala grant us the opportunity to benefit from Hazrat many more times, inshallah, in the future. And we really thank him from the bottom of our hearts that Allah Ta'ala bless him in his ilm, in his ruhaniyat, and Allah Ta'ala allow him to benefit the masses throughout the world. Jazakumullahu khairan wa ahsan al-jaza. Inshallah, food will be served, and the food has been made by the father of the two children who's become hifz. So Brother Ibrahim has made the food, and he wants everyone to partake the food. So please, brothers, the food is ready to be served. Jazakumullahu khairan, ahsan al-jaza.